Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers, you're watching Season 2, Episode 9, Inside the Pretend. We're going to talk all about this episode of The Deuce. We've got Red Hot Success, Mob Money, and Business as Usual. Keep it right here.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. So good.
Oh, man. Another season down.
I know. I'm sad.
We made it all the way through.
Went by way too fast.
It was fast. I know,
it felt
man.
Really short.
So good.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another after show for your favorite show on HBO, The Deuce. We're here with your lovely panel. We got another full panel today.
Yeah.
Excited to talk about this show. Everybody, please tell me your wonderful name.
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm Nakia Monet. Happy to be back, but sad to be leaving.
I'm Farinaz Besharet, and I, too, am sad to be leaving.
Hey, guys, happy Monday. I'm Louisa Shar, and I'm so excited. It's very bittersweet.
And as always, my name is Nate Miller, and we'll just kind of get right into this episode. There's a lot that happened. That song is Mystery Achievement by The Pretenders. A very interesting song choice for them. This song came out in 1980. Kind of signifies them using it at the end of the episode for that segment, I think, kind of shows the end of an era. This whole kind of episode really encapsulates a lot of season storylines that we've seen for a lot of characters, and it was very poetic to see the ending of this episode end basically the same way that it started, with another montage going through the 866 with some music playing going on in the background. But I'd like to talk first about Red Hot Success. We get to see them have their opening premiere at the World Theater, which is a very prestigious theater in New York, also where Deep Throat premiered as well.
Yeah,
so I'm sure there's a little nod there. We hear that it's opening in 10 theaters. And another thing that is really, really large for the movie's release is VHS. It's right at the time where VHS are just starting to roll out. As we heard, it's like $1,000 for one. So it's still not going to be in everybody's house. But they're in that way of the consumer market changing, and the idea that people can now buy porn and watch it in their home kind of completely changes the market. Because before, it was really like you kind of had to be brave to go into a porno theater and watch it with a bunch of other people there. Whereas the average person that, you know, is interested in porn is not going to do that. So they're missing a lot of customers. Them being able to have VHS is a huge boon for the business, so much that Harvey realizes they can cut trailers for their other films. What did you guys think about this? I think it was great to show the change of the, you know, technology and stuff.
Yeah, I love that they incorporated that into the show. It really pays homage to the time period, which is great to see.
I love that they showed that because it's kind of like the start of, I mean, so they, sure, they had a few porn stores in New York City, but it was kind of the start of more porn stores coming in and selling more VHS and more videos. And I think back to like living in New York City and being from New York City, and there are some stores that still live there that are in Times Square, but because it's super clean now, it's a little bit different. And I remember like being a little bit younger, just saying, me and my friends were going to the store and like seeing like DVDs. And so it's interesting to see like the beginning of it and seeing where it is now. We have the internet and you can look at it on your phone where people have to go into a theater. So I love that they incorporated in that. Hopefully in season three, they'll be going into like the 80s now. So I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, I agree with both of you ladies. So everything is moving forward. And even today in 2018, everything being digital, it's nice to see the birth of how that was their kind of digital world. For us, so many things are taking place right now. But for them to even have that idea that, hey, you know what? We can edit this now in different ways and just distribute it. It's amazing. Like, that's evolving, but also characters are evolving too at the same time. So it's a nice correlation.
Yeah, it's such a drastic change technology-wise. And one of the things, that reason why I really thought it was cool that they did this, is anybody who knows anything about technology knows that wherever the cutting edge of technology is, pornography is leading the way. Because there's money to be made, and they are the industry that's going to try anything and everything.
Yeah.
So this is just, you know, another in the line of, even when films first started, it was pornographic films were some of the first stuff that was being made. Then you get to VHS. Then you get to who is making DVDs first. Then you get to who is making stuff online. Then you get to VR. All of that stuff that we have now.
Yeah.
Porn did it first.
Yeah.
Once they made it commercial and could make money off of it, then other people started adapting it. Then people started having DVDs in their homes and stuff. So even like you said with the video stores, it's very cool to see this in 2018 because in our own lifetime, I remember the video store.
Yeah.
The video store is gone now.
Yeah.
Like from VHS to DVDs to Blu-rays for that hot minute to why would you go to a store?
All gone.
I stream everything.
Then you go to RedTube.
Yes.
Open your phone or your computer.
Not RedTube, though. But I do love the
Pornhub is where it's at. Yeah, let's have some class.
Okay. Since we're throwing it out there, just hit it up with
our chat should let us know.
If you
want
to sponsor us.
Yes. Or you can just try X videos. That's also pretty cool.
Okay.
What I do love though, I love that we're seeing a time where like porn at this time was looked at like throughout this premiere and everyone's feeling really famous and living their best lives. And it's kind of new to have this movie be in like the 10 theaters to where it is in 2018, where that would probably never happen today.
Yeah.
So I love seeing them in their gowns and they're in the theater and they're living their best lives. And they're like, we got this movie. And even Candy's like, we have more to come. So I love seeing the balance with that and knowing what it's like today.
Yep. So to talk more about the movie, we find out again, as we kind of had an idea before, we just didn't know the exact numbers, but Maddie and Rudy are kind enough to have that discussion with Harvey to explain to him that Maddie owns 90% of the film and Rudy owns 25% of the film.
Crazy.
And when you put that together, that's
so
110%.
Messed up, I swear.
And basically this resolves to they have come to an agreement themselves of what will happen, and some money will trickle down to the production to pay for things, but any type of profit or anything that's going to be made from this movie, which is getting great reviews and is making tons of money, is not going to go to them.
And Frankie's out. Heart attack.
Yeah, Harvey's out. He's stress eating.
Overeating. Yeah. The French fries that we all have in our drawers, too.
Poor Harvey.
But we can touch more. Candy has an opinion on that. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about, you know, I want to go back a little bit to her at the premiere. She shows up with Russell, who she's been kind of seeing, kind of, I don't know if they're really something official, but I guess they were official enough. And he gets into the talk with the boys and just trying to impress my old lads. And I mean, how did you guys, if you were Candy in that moment, how would you feel?
I thought it was sad because for so much of her life, she hasn't put a trust in men. And she once again got betrayed by a man that she trusted. And that was, I guess, sad and unfortunate to see.
If I was Candy, I'd be hurt, but I get it. Being a logical thinker, like, I get when you're trying, you're this kid and you probably weren't the coolest kid growing up and you have your friends and you're with one of the baddest women and she's on your arms and you want to show off. And it was really disrespectful and I don't think he understood how disrespectful it was. But if I was Candy hearing that, I would be really hurt as she was. But I don't think he's a malicious person. Like, I think he meant well, but what he did was horrible. You know what I'm saying? And it sucked that she had to hear him say that to his friends. It's like, what are you, 5? Grow up. But I don't think he's a bad person, if that makes sense.
Like, adding to that, he said, I think we're more than what you think we are. I definitely think there's some kind of substance in our relationship. But
you got to prove it, honey.
But she made up her mind. She said, come get your stuff, move out, I'm done. And I love that about her.
Me too.
She wasn't insecure about it. Even though she was a porn star and all that, a sex worker or whatever you want to call it, she still had that confidence to leave and have that respect. And I think he's going to view her differently right now.
I think she just realized that, I mean, just like how he wanted more from it than she was willing to give him. I think she realized that, like she said, she was just being safe and comfortable. Like, he was there. They're working late hours. She doesn't have to explain what she's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he was never a good fit for her. Like, I got the impression that he was much younger than her.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, to me, I just saw it as like a wake-up call of like, she kind of comes over and sees. And for the first time, she actually gets kind of perspective on who he is. Not just who he is on set when he's editing and he's in awe of her and she's acting a certain way, but how he is outside of that world, which she doesn't really see him in. And she realizes, he's just a kid.
Yeah.
What am I, like, I'm just fucking around because I want somebody to fuck around with and you're convenient. So we don't need to do this anymore. You just do your editing. Come get your shit. She's so much beyond this.
Yeah.
She's just been so focused on the movie and just needed some type of physical connection to, like, you know, be alive and stuff.
Yeah.
So she was just settling, like she said.
Wow, Nate, you're like a therapist.
She gets a great interview on the Jack Valance show. Just kidding. They bring her on just to ridicule her.
Horrible.
And I mean, so part of me, sad. I'm torn because there's really no way to bring her on and not approach it in that way at that time period and have it actually air and not then like yank it off. It has to be a little bit of a joke. But that being said, like being a fan of hers, it really sucked. If like she's like, this is my art. Like we're professionals, and he's just like cracking.
She's
jokes.
The butt of the jokes.
To add to that, she said, "Just because we are depicting human sexuality, it doesn't mean we don't have a story to tell."
Yeah.
And as much as he tried to really go at it and make fun and degrade the situation, oh, you're a porn star. But no, this is art. Right. We're expressing human nature. And now, especially from a woman's point of view. So, but she's so strong. She didn't care.
Yeah, I love the...
She wants that platform. Yeah, go
ahead.
Yeah,
that platform.
She wants the platform.
And I love the optimism throughout the struggles that we're witnessing in the first half of the episode, where whether it be when... they find out how much of a percentage the mob men have on the porn, or her going on this late night show, she still maintains this optimism. She sees the bright future and what's going to come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's great to see that she doesn't allow it to overcome her.
Yeah,
happiness.
She said, I'll get a big name out of it, and from that name, I'll get some, you know, money out of that, and then I'll make another film. Mm-hmm. So she's like, we're not going to stop what we're doing.
Right.
Beautiful. Just amazing.
And then later she, you know, she goes to pick up her son to fulfill her plans that she had.
It was heartbreaking.
Her dad essentially just cuts her out and says, don't come back. We see her son's got a black eye. It was tough. This is one of those situations where I don't like, there's not like a right answer. Like,
no.
Yeah, that sucks for him. That really does. And that is kind of shitty that she put him through that.
Yeah.
But she's still his mom. She should still be able to be around him. Like, keeping her away is not going to help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not going to undo it. It's not like people are going to, like, not know who she is all of a sudden. Like, the damage is already done. Keeping him away is not...
And he got beat up in school, right? The kids.
I mean, I think that was the implication.
Yeah.
That somebody saw it and was like, oh, your mom did this. Yeah. I'm going to beat you up.
And he probably defended his mom and got punched in the face, you know. And I think, like, at that time, even now today, but I think back in that time, this is the 70s, which means her parents are probably from the 50s and 40s. So I think her parents looked at it like, the best thing is to keep your kid away from you, which isn't the best thing. It's unfortunate. I think they went into protective mode. But we kind of get a sense to see where she's from. I mean, throughout the whole season, we got the idea that her dad didn't want her to be around because mom would be like, dad's not here. She would show up when he wasn't there. And it was just sad just because it felt like she was like a little girl all over again. And it was just sad that she had to stand up to her dad and her mom was just there and was like, and she just, I wanted to cry for her.
Yeah.
Because when he closes the door in her face and she's trying to come back and she's like, dad, I'm like, oh, damn.
It reminded me of earlier in the season when they went and visited the other father.
Yeah.
Of the girl. And it was like, Here we go again.
Yeah, and he closed
just a complete,
the door.
Yeah, lack of, like, emotion. Just apparently there is a line you can cross where the love is not unconditional.
Oh,
and she was looking up the window to see if the sun was peeking out. But mark my words, the sun will go after her in a few months, few years. He'll go after his mother.
Yeah, but I think her parents, you know, were doing at least what they thought was right as grandparents, protecting him. But in the long run, it doesn't help to keep her away from her son.
Yeah. But in the end, she didn't even see... what happened with the son, right?
No. Maybe it's better.
He implied that something happened. Because she even goes like, what happened?
Yeah. Right, but to see your child bleeding and bruised would probably be a much bigger, much different impact. And I wonder, had she seen that, if that would have kind of changed the trajectory of her career.
Never.
Like, no.
She knows who she is. She's going to make movies like that forever.
Because I think also... if that scene happens, it's that scene of like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry this happened to you. And the son goes, no, it's okay, mom. I was just trying to defend you or whatever it is. And so I think that kind of bandages that, makes it okay.
Yeah. Sex is all she knows. Sex and art. She can't do anything else, in my opinion.
But what she's trying to do
She knows filmmaking.
No, that's what I mean. Sex, filmmaking, art. That's what I meant.
But she's trying to change.
I think she's a little deeper than that.
I mean, yeah. The whole purpose of her creating Red Hot is to transition from
the
sexual world into
exactly a making art, but with still sex as the main content of it.
I would disagree.
Because this could be her start.
Right. I think that's the point. Is that she's not a sex object. She's not just all about sex. Like that is what she had to be for a time because that's what was necessary. She's capable of doing that. She's not against it. She's not shaming people that do that, but that's not all that she is. She's so much more than that.
No, not that that's all that she is, but the context and the content of her films are still, human sexuality based. That's what I'm saying. You think that's going to change in the future? She's going to make other films where it's not?
Yeah, I don't personally.
Oh, I don't see that yet.
I don't interpret Red Hot as being the sex being the most important part.
Right.
I think that was a lot of what this season was about, is that everybody keeps saying, cut out all this stuff, just get to the fucking. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no,
it's about the story.
Now in the story, because it's a romance story and a sex movie, when they have sex, they show it and it's long. It's not a 3-minute, movie sex scene, but that's not the point of the movie. The point of the movie is about Red, is about her journey. That's what she keeps talking about. So she's using what Candy is doing in this season is she's being a filmmaker and a director, and she's realizing that she sees other women. She sees the other woman director who did porn and then started doing movies. And she realized, I'm not going to be able to just go out and direct movies. I need this. I'm in this. I know how to do this. This is my path. I'm going to make some porn movies. Now I made some porn movies. Let me make a different one. Let me tell you a little bit of story. One with a little bit of crossover. Okay. Hey, look, she can make a real movie that just happens to have some sex in it. Now maybe she could make a movie that doesn't have any sex in it.
Well, yeah,
Which a lot of male directors did that in their early careers too. A lot of them, the big movie directors were interns and PAs.
Not even just directors.
Yeah.
A lot of cinematographers.
Yeah. They actually started a lot of porn. And these are big guys. Now we're back in the 70s and 80s, they're like, that's just how we got our start, because we wanted to learn how to make movies and we were on set, and now they're making these big Oscar-winning movies. So I thought that was actually
funny
interesting
to
learn
too. Funny you say that, because David Simon had that in an interview too, that a lot of the credits have, the names are changed of the directors who were actually on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, we got a lot of other character storylines to wrap up, so I want to keep us moving. We get to catch up with Lori. Not doing great.
No.
Drug problem is definitely getting the best of her.
Yeah.
It's apparent. It seems like a few weeks or some time have definitely passed since the last episode, and no one has heard or seen from Cece. She is like freaking out.
Cocaine.
Everyone else
is
like, "Oh, he's dead." How did you guys feel about that? Were you surprised that she was like losing it? I kind of thought that she. I mean, especially after the changeover that happened, and that last experience that they had, to me, that felt kind of final of like, I'm going to hurt you, but I lost. So I'm going to leave now. I mean, obviously it's hard for me to understand what Lori was thinking. Maybe, I guess it is the drugs. I don't know. I was surprised at how paranoid she was. This whole thing seemed like unnecessary. It seemed like an unnecessary way to drag out a dramatic reveal for her that Cece is dead, as opposed to just telling her at the start of the episode, hey, Cece's dead.
I think they were trying to portray how emotionally toxic and traumatizing her relationship was with Cece, and how that final scene where she got raped really did a number on her, to the point where she had to turn to drugs like cocaine to help her.
She's always been
cope.
Using coke, though.
Yeah.
Right. But to this extent, to really cope with the aftermath, and we see that she starts having paranoia. Anxiety, paranoia.
Yeah, no, but I also see she was socialized and conditioned with Cece forever. He was not only her father figure, her boyfriend figure, whatever figure you want to call it. So for her, it was an emotional let go of that way too, where it's like, oh my God, is he going to call me? Can I do this? Like, she's so used to asking for his advice and getting his permission. That's why she was going at it, on top of the coke.
And she also wasn't in L.A. I think the end of the last episode, I assumed that she was going straight to L.A. So in this episode, at first I was confused because I thought when it opened she was already in L.A. But when I realized that she wasn't there yet, I'm like, okay, I get a little bit of the paranoia, because though they ended it and though he raped her and he took advantage of her and though he was like, this was it, and she's on major coke, I can understand her being paranoid and saying like, okay, he can walk in anytime, he's right up the street. I wasn't surprised, though, because I knew it wasn't going to be an easy start for her. Like, I think I said in my predictions last week, like, I don't think this was going to be easy for her to just jump into this new, brand new life and live her best life in L.A. Like, and I think it had to be a moment, which we see at the end, where she kind of felt like she was free.
She was laughing and crying, and it's like, finally, a fresh new start.
I thought that was awful.
Really?
It was emotional for me because it was an emotional roller coaster because at first it's like, okay, she's hurt. Okay, we're laughing. We're happy. I think it was a moment where I'm sad because I had love for him because it's someone that I knew. Mm-hmm. But then as she's going through the emotions, it's I'm finally free. Mm-hmm. I don't wish bad on anyone and I'm not happy that he's dead. But yeah. I think it was one of those moments where I don't now have to look behind me.
I think she's happy that he's dead. I think, yeah, I mean, I saw the performance. Yeah. I understood what was going on. I personally was not, I didn't feel moved at all.
Yeah.
I saw that it playing out that way. I just expected a better performance from that actor.
Yeah.
From me personally.
Really?
That being said, I understand the motivation. I think it was very, very interesting. I'm really, really curious to see how Lori's character goes on in the future.
Yeah.
It could go either way. She could embrace this independence and become this strong, independent woman and be this force next season, or she could succumb even further and now be like complacent to whatever porn guy's leading it, like that new guy in LA or whatever is the scenario.
The
like,
drugs.
It could go either way. She's just in a very vulnerable spot right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we move on, we do have something we would like to share with our viewers because we love you guys.
Yes, guys. So just to let you guys know, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas like ours and other cool shows like Maybe a Ray Donovan, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But guys, we need your help, and we are not ashamed to beg and ask you. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. So if you subscribe to us, you'll probably get a cool another show, maybe like in the same realm, maybe like The Wire. Who knows? But with doing that, you guys will help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And don't worry about those pesky notifications because they're optional. And we love optional. So make sure you guys hit the subscribe button for now. And this channel, messing this whole thing up. And check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did, and we are in the comments, and Louisa will give you a shout out.
Yes, I will.
Let her know that you did that. And for now, thank you guys for being the best fans, and thank you for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Thank you.
Shout out to y'all. And I guess I'm so excited I'm messing up
Monday.
Everything.
Just so much excitement.
So
Happy
excited.
Monday.
Yes, we want to thank all of our fans for listening all season. If you enjoy our content, please leave a comment, leave a like, subscribe, tweet at us, whatever. It's going to be a long break for next season, but that doesn't mean the conversation has to end, you know? You just got to hit us with your questions.
Exactly. Yes. And now we're on Spotify, now we're on iTunes, and all that good stuff, so you can listen to us talk about the Deuce all day long.
Okay, speaking of the Deuce, I've got kind of a quick rundown of characters that really didn't do much this episode, except, like, this happened to them. So, here we go. Frankie's back with Christina.
Uh-huh.
He's not getting any money from the movie. He's back at the parlor exactly where he started.
Wow, yeah.
I feel like he got some character growth. I definitely feel like next season we're going to see some of the things that happen result in different changes in him. But again, I think this and a couple other things that are going to be on this following list is where this feeling we talked about a little bit earlier of where episode was a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
In that we just got a lot of ends to stories that were just kind of predictable, that we kind of saw the whole season way through, and they're necessary. You know, I was talking to you earlier about how when you get to when you have these three act structure stories, like this is written, the second act is always a little bit of a lull just because the characters are already developed, but now you kind of see what they go through. And we've got this time skip. We've got to see how everyone's adapted. We got to see how things have even changed for some people. For a lot of people, we see how things more or less have stayed the same, but they've had life experiences which have changed them along the way.
Yeah.
So that's what we get with Frankie. He's back there at the peep show. He says, you know, they put me back over here and just told me, just try not to skim so much this time, which is like, it's like so demeaning. Like, like, go ahead. Don't try not to steal so much. Like, you the amount of money that you steal is so insignificant.
Insignificant.
Like, they put him back in anyways. I did find it interesting, though, that the, I forget what her name, but the girl who tried to save Shay, Anita, decides that she's going to take some of the money this time as well.
Yeah. She's like, F that.
It's a nice little change. I think she kind of sees the writing on the wall.
She actually said something really funny during that scene when, gosh, what's the girl Shay. When she was on the bed crashing? She's like, if you love someone,
let them go.
If they come back, they're effed up.
Fucked up.
We said something else earlier, but that's fine.
What did we say?
Oh, we're not going to share that.
Okay, Bobby at the parlor.
Oh, Bobby.
Bobby's a little upset because he found out that Black Frankie, on the word of Tommy, just whacked Carlos. Just like nothing. Just kind of, hey, now let's go to the Chinese shop. Pop! I think rightfully so to be a little bit scared. I feel like it wouldn't be that easy for them to kill Bobby.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to, he could.
He's paranoid now, right? He's scared.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, he talks to Vincent about it, but I feel like he's scared. I think he's just not. We've seen that Vincent is kind of this season seen that everything that he's involved in for what it really is, like really, not just like. I know what it is, but I'm not going to look at it. Like, he's looked it in the face. Mm. Bobby, I think, is still trying to, like, nah, I'm a good guy. Like, nah, everything's cool. And I think this was a big wake-up call for him. And I think even at the end of the episode, when we see Bobby again and Vincent is there and he's coming, he's taking the envelope from him and his son is walking around with Melissa,
who is now
back at the parlor because none of the pimps want her.
Which is hilarious.
Was really hilarious.
Moving in, buying her steak and lobster.
They didn't want the bad karma.
But the way that Vince is looking at Bobby, I get this impression. Vince had this conversation earlier with Big Mike, and they were talking about, like, well, we're not assholes. Like, you know, we're in this business, but, like, we're not guys.
We're the nice guys.
And it's kind of a sentimental, heartwarming discussion. And then you see him try to have the same moment with Bobby.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys. I read it when he looked at Bobby like, oh, shit, you're one of the assholes. He likes it a little bit too much. He's a little bit too much into the parlor. Even with his son, he was, like, trying to keep him off. Now he's like, whatever. You know?
Yeah, I noticed
whatever.
That.
What's the point? And he just killed a dude that doesn't care really about killing CC at all. He feels no remorse.
No emotion.
That's why I like that Vincent called him out on that. He's like, you feel shook up about this, but not that you guys literally just killed someone.
Yeah.
And he tried to justify, like, well, it was CC. Like, he had it coming. And Vincent's like, you still killed someone. And you didn't even put a tombstone on the girl's grave that you said you would.
I was just going to say.
And that's the thing, too. Yeah, that I don't think he forgot.
He
doesn't care.
He's like, we can do better than this.
Yeah. So all of this is, to me, I read this as, so next season when we see Bobby and he's like a complete asshole, it's not like, whoa, where did this come from? Like, we expect it.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably my favorite little tie-up character, whatever, Darlene.
Educated.
She has her little moment at work with the creepy guy who notices her. Larry finds her check, gets upset. What are you doing? Doesn't get as mad as I thought.
He's
so mentally checked out.
But also,
he's done with being a parent.
Yeah. But then the whole, I'm sorry, what's the other girl's name?
Oh, Anita.
Melissa.
No.
Who's the one that comes in the house?
And she starts choking.
Loretta.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of...
Yeah, she got upset.
Kind of switched... Took the moment.
But I think with Darlene, is one of those things that we've seen this season where... And even, like, because I used to sneak on their Instagrams just to see what they were up to. And even with those two characters, they would post photos of themselves, like, partners in crime, and let's see what...
Yeah.
And they have a relationship name. Mm. So I thought it was interesting to see these two, where I think with his character, with Darlene, it was like a, though I'm your pimp, and I treated you like shit, I have some sort of affection for you somewhat. So I think he was a little hurt. Mm-hmm. To see Darlene, I guess, kind of live her best life, but you know, I love what she said to him at the end, like, you should have never shown me that you were an actor, because now I got to see that this is all bullshit and this was fake.
Yeah, we got the quote that the episode is named from, Inside the Pretend.
Yeah.
She basically says, you have it?
I have it, yeah. Pimp is a role, so is a whore. You pretended to be one, I pretended to be the other, and we went on like that for years. You know, pretending. But shit, once you start letting a girl inside the pretend, it's over, ain't it?
It's a very dramatic reading.
It is. But I love it.
You did a great job.
Can you break it down, though? Because I don't really get it.
But it's true, though. It's Once you, he let his guard down.
What does she mean when she said, once you let a girl inside the pretend? So she was sucked in.
Okay. Mm. When the pimp relationship is built on lies. Mm. The idea that you are special and that you are meaningful and that I love you and you love me and you want to take care of me. And that's why you need to go sleep with that guy and do whatever he says. And even though he's going to beat you up and you're going to come back to me and I'm going to buy you gifts. Like, it's all built on lies, on pretend. Right. Mm. So it's when you are in that, it's hard for you to see, oh, they're lying.
Yeah.
Because it's real to you. But now you take that and you see that person and you see it from the outside and you see them pretend, you see them change and you go, that's not you. You're pretending with them. And then you go, oh, are you doing that with me?
Wow.
And that's what happened. Yeah. She realized.
Damn, Nate.
You're not. Brilliant. Larry, the pimp, the excellent, wonderful lover guy, whatever. You're the just Larry, the liar. Larry, yeah. The actor. Like, this is what you do. This is why you made a good pimp, because you're an actor.
You're a really good actor. Wow.
You can pretend to be whatever the girl needs him to be. That's what he's going to be. That's how it's done.
He was a little lost puppy dog. He's like, you're not going to even say bye. I was like, oh, Larry.
That was cute.
He's like, we spent years together.
He was trying. He was.
And he's like, we may never see each other again. I love that she says, if I do this shit right, hopefully I never see you.
So do you think she's coming back?
No. She has a great guy.
I think she's working on a few movies. Like, in real life. Dominique.
So. Yeah, I mean, do you think she's coming back on the show?
I would hope so.
Oh, yes.
You don't think so?
You don't think so?
I know that Dominique's working on a lot of things and a lot of movies, so I would see that kind of, like, not bringing her back. But I would love to see her.
I think it would make more sense for her character.
Yeah.
To leave and be gone and live another life, because what are we going to see her doing? She's going to get back into porn? I don't want her to do that. She's not acting. She's not, like, there's literally no reason for her to be on the show. Well, unless something bad happens to her.
This show clearly has no problem with killing off characters. I feel like if they didn't want to bring her back, they would kill her off.
I mean, but then any character that leaves the show has to have a poor ending, has to die.
I think they're definitely going to bring her back. Similar to the way Dorothy left and we thought she was long gone.
Yeah.
And then she came back onto the show.
And died.
Right, yeah. And eventually died, to my point. I feel like they want to let go of a character, they will kill
I don't think they're going to kill her.
I think it's important to her story that she left, she lived, she had a nice life, a normal life, because she doesn't want this.
Right,
she
if she does make an appearance in the last season, it would be like
just to illustrate her progress.
Possibly.
He happens to see her 10 years later.
Yes, like a nice cameo would be nice.
I could see a cameo.
A few years later...
Yeah. Right.
Her son, Candy's son, is being taught by Darlene. Right. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, I can see that. But
otherwise,
I don't see them killing her.
If I see Darlene, I'm going to be like, oh, please no.
Right. Like, please no. But
especially not after the Ashley track record. Because I was like,
she does it
this is great. Ash is coming back. She's doing good.
I know.
Damn.
Okay. Paul, even though he's finally out from under the mob, has decided that because he needs to invest in this theater, takes my money. So that's not going to go well.
For his boyfriend, because he's in love with him.
I was a little disappointed in that.
I wouldn't say the love word.
I don't think he's in love with him. I don't know if he's that kind of guy.
Smitten.
He's in lust.
I think it's like 60% the guy. I think the other 40% is Paul is just that guy that likes to, it's always got to be something bigger. It's always got to be something, he's got to be building something. He's got a dream, he's got a vision, that's who he is. Because even when you see when he's got the club, like, he's happy, but he's not like...
Mm-hmm. He's not satisfied.
Like, all right, cool, I'm chilling. We did it. He's like, all right, now what? Let me go meet with this guy. What are you doing? I like what you're doing. I like this show. You know? He's that kind of guy. So I'm curious to see how that's going to pan out. He's come a long way from just working at Vincent's Bar in season one. I feel like he was kind of underutilized this season. Kind of a nice accent. But again, I'm... getting that we're building towards him being a much bigger involvement in season 3, especially since he's going to be another part in this mob business. And as Tommy says, if we're in for the whole thing.
I don't like it.
You don't get a loan and you get to pay out and then see you. Like, no, if Rudy's in, it's not greed. Okay. All right, Tommy. Just because you say it, that makes it true. Rodney.
deserved it.
Rodney.
Finally.
Rodney is the Shay's pimp.
Method Man, yes.
Yeah, he has
Let me tell you.
Another one.
Heroin is one hell of a drug.
Yeah. Don't mess with opioids.
Listen, man.
Or cocaine.
But I do like the setup, like you're right, like for season three, like they're kind of getting rid of the old pimps. Like everyone's just being killed off. Because I feel like in season three, and you see the table of the new pimps, we're going to get a whole new... Because it's going to go into like the 80s where the pimps are kind of starting to die out. And so it was sad that he had to go, but I kind of knew that he was going to... It wasn't going to be pretty.
Yeah, I mean, Shay bounced. He was very much an anecdotal character this season.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like a relic of season one, which made sense for a lot of storylines to have him there. But I wasn't surprised, that, especially once we saw the drugstore thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. What is interesting is the cop that kills him.
Yeah.
And the reason why that's interesting, which is, I'm going to talk about Alston now, who decides he's going to take this job, he's going to help clean them up. And the one thing he says that he needs from the chief, I need you to help me clean up the cops down here. Help me rotate some of these vice guys out, the plainclothes guys out. Get them in a different location so they're not taking these mob envelopes. Then we can actually do real police work. But sure enough, the one cop who is on the scene and kills Rodney and gets shot,
the goddamn so of course he's karate gonna be a kid. Hero.
That is him, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I've been waiting to say that all year.
Yeah. Oh my god!
But as Alston says, now he's gonna be a hero in the precinct.
And they can't get rid of him. So I'm
excited
for season three because I feel like it's gonna get more into like less prostitute-y, less porn, but more into like mob police corrupt bullshit, which I'm really excited for.
Again, like, it's one of those things where you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, you can't have you can't get really complex resolutions to storylines and long, like, worked for payoffs without the groundwork and the slow episodes and the character development. And like, that's why this season, like, all of Alston's storyline is like,
it's really slow.
And there's some spots where it's like, okay, he's doing something, and then it's like, all right, cool, he's just in the episode.
Yeah,
he didn't even care though about shooting the cop, shooting Rodney. He just said, "I spilled my beer."
Oh
yeah,
the crooked cop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was drunk.
He was super drunk.
But
I love that he's like, "Save my bar stool," because the cops didn't give a shit. They're like, "Oh, we'll be back at the bar."
Yeah, but it's gonna be really interesting, like you said. All of this is to build up for, so when season three comes, there's all this groundwork that's been laid, and it's going to be like, oh, this is important.
Yeah.
Oh, this is important.
So you're right. It is important to kind of slow down the, like, second season, because season three is going to be crazy.
It's
going to
be a great payoff.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that.
I agree.
Can't wait for that.
Abby, again, basically in this episode just to be sad about Ashley, which is fine, and rightfully so. I think... I haven't been in that situation, but I have lost friends.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would be like to have that friend and be like, hey, you need to be careful, you need to stop, and then that friend doesn't, and they actually do. Like, that's got to be heartbreaking.
That's heartbreaking. Because I think for Abby, she thought she could at least save her, because her friend came back, she was clean, she was doing the right thing, and she wanted to kind of protect her and just to know that she couldn't do it. I felt sad for her, because that when she found out that she was dead, even when Loretta got the paper and she seen her face, that was heartbreaking as well, because they knew that Ashley was doing the right thing, and to know that she washed up in some rug.
Yeah, and then Abby came to the conclusion that she can't change anything. She can't change the world, and everything's just based on this whole different, bigger picture. And she had that deep combo with Loretta, which was so good, too. So
sad.
Very sad.
Yeah, that was rough. The whole Ashley storyline, you can't give so much that you...
Wait, so what happened to her? I know she was found dead. So I mean,
the implication is that what we saw the pimp meeting earlier, Ignacio wants to kill her. Why does he not do it? Because CC says something. Well, at the end of the episode, CC dies. So with him gone, he hasn't been around. Nobody's seen him. They're going to move ahead with their plan. Yep. So they kill her. She's missing for a few weeks, and then they find her right in the body, and that's where we're at. So that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
Really rough. Sad story. I was so excited when she came back this season.
I know. Yeah, I was like, she's going to get shit done. But I was nervous for her because
it shows how dangerous it is out there, too. Like, it's not a game. These are people's livelihoods and incomes, and they will do whatever they need to do. Finally, last one I want to talk about. Vincent.
Vincent.
Visits his family. We haven't seen all season.
At all. His kids are grown.
I actually mentioned that last week. His kids are grown, yeah. How he wanted to create a family with.
Yeah.
So
well, because he went to the family. He went to talk to his dad and then the whole Vermont thing.
Yeah.
So it was kind of heading in that direction. But eventually we see he actually does go visit them. I kind of get the feeling that he had... I don't want to say visits them frequently, but like he had been there, and like the way that they talked about Abby, and he talked about the other person that she was seeing and stuff. It was really nice to see like a healthy relationship between them.
It was so that was nice. To see.
But again, like the kids are so big, we haven't seen them.
Huge.
Next season, they're going to be like people
in college.
They're going to be like
characters. They might be characters next season.
Yeah. And then obviously we got that last scene. Vince walking back in the bar, you know, business as usual after collecting money from different places. And again, as they wrap up with that last shot, the same way as it opened up, we get this feeling of like things have changed, but not really. There's still a status quo. There's still, you know, money's got to be made. Yep. Envelopes got to be passed off.
And a bigger power over them that they can't control at all.
Yeah. Okay. Really quick,
you have some news?
Predictions for season 3.
Predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Predictions.
Yeah, after we do predictions.
Louise. Predictions for season 3. I'm really excited for season 3 because I believe they're going to fast forward and we're going to get into the 80s. I do believe we're going to start the whole Ed Koch trying to do the whole cleanup. But if you know the history, it doesn't get really cleaned up until Mayor Giuliani comes in into the 90s. But Koch tries to do this whole thing. So I'm interested to see that. But the 80s were really rough in New York City. So that's crack. That's drugs. Still prostitutes, but a little bit rough. I predict, I don't know, like... It can go anywhere. Like, I'm nervous because, like, even though last episode I knew something bad might happen to Ashley down the line, I just didn't think she was going to die this episode. So I feel like season 3, I'll just say this, I feel like that we might come back and people may be dead and we may not suspect it. So I just predict that season 3 is going to be crazy because this season was really slow. And I think for the last season, it's going to be...
I think we're going to see a lot more of the repercussions and the consequences of having a business with the mob, with the mafia. And I think Frankie's kids and Eileen's children, our child, son, is going to be incorporated in the storyline somehow. Frankie's going to die, I think.
I see Lori going into a different dangerous path in L.A. I think she, even though she's going to be acting, I feel like she's her coke addiction is going to just get more for some reason. I just don't see a positive future for her in L.A. And I see Candy really excelling in her work as a filmmaker and being taken seriously. And Larry is going to book great stuff. I can tell he's so in it. He has the acting bug. He's committed. And Abby and Vincent will break up. I think they will part their ways. I think also this will... Ashley thing kind of played a thing in that too, so kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I've said a lot of my predictions already, but really quick, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with Vince. I'm actually much more invested in the character now than I was before. I think he's a lot more interesting. I hope we get a lot more of Abby next season. And it's just going to be a lot of mob stuff, a lot of people dying, and Alston is going to be like a sergeant. I don't think we're going to be quite 90s, but I think it's going to be like 87, 88, 89, like late 80s. Definitely. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the sets and the style changes and stuff too, and the music, like all that stuff. Before we wrap this up, we do have some news and gossip that we want to share.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Got a wonderful video clip to share with you guys. Would you like to intro that?
Yeah. So this week I was able to attend the Raps Women's Power Summit. It was a really cool summit because it was all women survivors from the Me Too movement, a lot of feminists, a lot of activists. But Alicia Rhino was there, and for those who don't know, she plays Kiki on the Deuce, and I got the chance to talk to her a little bit about her character. That's amazing. I'm honored to be standing with you. Last question, because AfterBuzz TV, I do the after show for The Deuce, my favorite show, and you play a badass character named Kiki. My name is Kiki.
No!
It's Nakia, but they call me... So I love your character. You play a lot of badasses anyway. What turned you on to Kiki and The Deuce? Because The Deuce is one of the best shows.
You know, The Deuce was tricky because it is about pornography, and I do have huge feelings about pornography and the addiction to pornography and what that does to people. However, I think when we look at our history, it's really important to look back so that we can change. And my character, Kiki, is freaking awesome because I empower women to make their own money and to be financially independent from their pimps.
Yeah.
So I feel really fantastic about what I do.
I love it. The fact that you can sit across from a mob boss and tell him to get you a drink, I thought it was amazing. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for everything that you do.
Awesome. That was pretty cool.
That was great.
Good question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good answer.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Like, she's really sweet, and as soon as I seen her on the red carpet, I'm like, I gotta ask her about the deuce. We do the after show and all that goodness. So I'm excited for season 3 as well.
Yep, hell yeah.
All right, guys, we're all excited for season 3. We hope you join us next time to catch that. Until then, please tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, guys, I'm Nakia Monet. You can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom.
I will miss you all, but follow us and keep in touch. You can find me on Instagram at Farah_Nas_B. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Louisa Shar, and I'm also on the Willing Race After Show Thursday nights at 6:30. Also on the Ray Donovan After Show Sunday nights at 7 p.m., so check me out.
And guys, I'm Nate Miller. You can find me everywhere at Dog Like Nate. Make sure you check out our other AfterBuzz shows. Please leave us comments, tweet at us, thumbs up, subscribe, all that good stuff. We love to hear from you guys. We love to keep the conversation going. We'll see you all 2 years?
Not 2 years.
I don't know when it's
going to
take a while. Probably a year and a half. Okay. It's going to take a while. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Founder Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.